between the words spoken and those heard, may you, Spirit of Life, be present. So, a story retold by the author Cynthia Bourgeau. Once upon a time, in a not so far away land, there was a kingdom of acorns nestled at the foot of a grand old oak tree. Since the citizens of this kingdom were modern, fully westernized acorns, they went about their business with purposeful energy. And since they were midlife acorns, they engaged in a lot of self-help courses. There were seminars called Getting All You Can Out of Your Shell. There were woundedness and recovery groups for acorns who had been bruised in their original fall from the tree. There were spas for oiling and polishing those shells and various acornopathic therapies to enhance longevity and well-being. One day, in the midst of this kingdom, there suddenly appeared a knotty, K-N-O-T-T-Y, a knotty little stranger, apparently dropped out of the blue by a passing bird. He was capless and dirty, making an immediate negative impression on his fellow acorns. And crouched beneath the oak tree, he stammered out a wild tale. Pointing upwards at the tree, he said, "We are that." Delusional thinking, obviously, the other acorns concluded, but one of them continued to engage him in conversation. "So tell us, how would we become that tree?" "Well," said he, pointing downward, "it has something to do with going into the ground and cracking open the shell." "Insane," they responded, "totally morbid. Why then, we wouldn't be acorns anymore." How indeed do we become those trees? What does it take for us to grow, to become, to engage the very depth of our possibilities for life? Where indeed will life take us, and what is the way there? Well, it seems for the acorns in the story, at least, life requires them to go down, deep down, before they can rise higher and higher. And the way there is to be broken open, to let go of the safety of the shells which they have thus far only known. We are that. There is life ready to blow through their dry shells, one that will take them down, even as it raises them up. There is breath that passes through them if they can trust it enough for the journey. In Ezekiel's vivid passage, this breath blows over the dry bones and gives them life. The spirit, the wind, the breath, the ruach, leads the prophet to the desert. Here, where all seems lifeless, the prophet is told to prophesy to the bones. God will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And to the breath itself, the prophet is told to prophesy. "Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." And breath came upon them, and they lived. Breath, life, wind, spirit. These are the main characters of today's Pentecost. It is definitely a directional difference from last week, where Jesus' ascension is given attention. This week, God's presence is emphasized not in the rising, but in the going out, the breathing out, the breath, the presence of the Spirit who bursts out from the disciples through their very mouths, through the very languages that they spoke. The Spirit became as close as the breath moving over their tongues. Where last week we have had the odd referral to God or Jesus as up, wherever that is, up where, and why up? Here we have references to the Spirit who moves outward, within and around, even downward, who remains as close as each breath of life. Breath is recognized by Hawaiians as so fundamental to all else that these islands carry the profound reality in their name. Ha, breath, Hawaii. And there is the honi, the exchange of greeting by meeting foreheads and exchanging breath. And there is the cultural importance of sharing the last breath of the one who is dying. Breath, life, wind, spirit. Perhaps the pandemic and the protests over this past year have reminded us again of the vital necessity of breath. I can't breathe. George Floyd's words became the rallying cry to recognize racial injustice. And the COVID-19 virus has been a reality of losing one's capacity to breathe and also learning to breathe behind masks. Where last week is somewhat of a reminder that God is other, something higher or greater than us, Pentecost is a reminder that God is somehow as present as breath. Somehow present in the life that flows through bone and acorn. And somehow an advocate. God is somehow for us and with us. God is in and God is out. God is up and God is down. I'm currently reading a book titled Underland by the author or nature writer Robert McFarlane. In this book, he explores the incredible depths of the planet, what lies far below us in the dark, and what human experience in these depths reveal to us about ourselves, and what perspective may be gained from observing deep and slow geologic time. He notes that even the English language carries still ancient association of darkness with learning. Our word to understand itself bears an old sense of passing beneath something in order to fully comprehend it, to understand. To discover is to reveal by excavation, to descend and bring to the light, to fetch up from depth. And he also details the work far underground to study what physicists call dark matter. This mysterious matter that can only be studied by how it interacts with the matter that humans can actually see or observe. He describes the search this way: how though to hunt for darkness in darkness? How to seek a substance that has mass and therefore exerts gravity, but that does not emit light, reflect it, or block it? Since the Swiss astronomer Fritz Zwicky, the evidence for the existence of dark matter has been gathered largely by inference. The detection not of the matter itself, but of its presumed influence on luminous entities, observable objects. To perceive matter that casts no shadow, you must search not for its presence, but for its consequence. Whereas last week we entered Jesus' ascension, the one lifted up, clear in light and sight. This Sunday is a journey out and in with our breath, down even, to this planet and its depths, to where we live, and where we die, only ever partly understanding, and further to where we keep our bones, bury our dead, where acorns break open and descend to reach ever expansive heights in the light. To perceive matter that casts no shadow, you must search not for its presence, but for its consequence. Where is the God of Pentecost? Somewhere, as Pastor Jeff reminded us last week, in the footsteps left behind. Or perhaps in the consequence, the whispers of presence, closer than perception, closer than the words or languages we use to connect with one another, or the metaphors by which we try to capture our experiences, closer than the breath that gives our bones or shells life. God is here. Amen. Please join us for our hymn of the day.